What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the Footy Footy. It's time to get this party started. It's the Footy Footy. It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is Footy Footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents White Caps, Three Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Who's talking to Forrest? We've never met before.
Never. Glad we're meeting now, though. So it's good.
Me
big
too.
Fan of yours. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of yours. And everybody said, and that's like what I get to hear, right, when you're on these shows. But I've also heard that you're a terrific guy, which I'm not surprised about.
As well as Amy wants to come on here because it's a positive show.
Yeah, it's a good vibe.
Montreal Vancouver one is like it's or Vancouver sorry Montreal and Toronto isn't exactly an easier podcast, I have to say.
I know. Yeah. When Wonger was looking for somebody to jump on and press the record button so that you guys didn't do another podcast into the void, right? Like you did a few weeks ago.
Those are some of the best ones, though.
Right? All your best material just out there floating somewhere in the ether. I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I just want to live on the vibes of how it feels to be at the top of the table on the West Coast.
Yeah, no, it's been good for the Vancouver Whitecaps recently. But they were in a bit of a slump as well. So they were sliding before these last two wins. And it's good to see them kind of bounce back. Brian White get going, Ryan Gold as well. And I think that's been a big reason why they found success in the last couple of games.
You know, that Minnesota game was exciting. It was very interesting, obviously. And Minnesota had their chances. But you know, the big question mark certainly over the last few weeks has been where are the goals coming from? You know, like secondary scoring, blah blah blah. And here they are with seven goals in the last two games. Exciting. They rode their luck a little bit, of course, but they do play some really exciting, expansive football. Like I really like the way they play at times, the confidence they have on the ball, and obviously the work rate is second to none. Yeah. Ryan Gold and you know, Brian White just worked their socks off. It's almost like they have something to prove, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. And that's the way they've always played. Brian White was struggling to find the net and then just had that good fortune against St. Louis. And I think that really sort of gave him the confidence going forward because I think as a striker, he's probably second-guessing some things when the ball's not going in and maybe getting in his head a little bit. And it was just really interesting to see. And funny, really, when he scores that first goal against St. Louis, it's off a Jake Nowitzki deflection. And I don't know if it goes in without that deflection, but he gets the goal. They don't ask you how after it. And then from there, he starts to feel pretty good. He gets that back heel goal that gets over the goalie and in. Don't know if he completely intended for that to go in, but he did intend to kind of flick it over to himself. So he knew what he was doing in that instance. And then the third one is a classic Brian White goal. It's a nice ball whipped in by Ryan Raposo. He gets up highest, heads it down into the bottom corner, and that's what you expect to see from Brian White. And now we're seeing Brian White just flowing with confidence. He gets a tap in the last game against Minnesota where he's just following up the play, and it's a poor pass back that Ryan Gold then just feeds to Brian White to tap in. But he's in those areas, and that's what you want from him. So it's nice to see him going here because when he is, then he's anticipating. Vanni Sartini has mentioned as well that he's making those runs a lot quicker. He's going after that front post, and it's in creating opportunities and space for other players as well. So he is the focal point for their attack. And if he's going, then yes, then the goals will come. Other people will open up. And then it's infectious as well. Then you have that screamer from Sebastian Bearhalter, a shot from distance that kisses the post and goes in. So Everyone's feeling good right now for the Vancouver Whitecaps. But it wasn't like that about a week ago. Goodness, things turned quickly.
Yeah, I know. I was listening to Ryan Gold's press conference after, and you know, he kind of a little bit similar to Vanny. He's very honest in his opinion of himself. You know that he thought that he gave the ball away too easily at times. He could be better to help his team, and it's like, well, you know, brilliantly done. And I think for guys in the media, I think that you know the sound bites he gives you are more than you get from so many other players.
Hey, Asa, well, before you jump in here, because I have to jump out, you've been brilliant so far. The brilliance is going to continue here on Whitecaps Three Questions. That's Craig Forrest that you're hearing as well. I'm Dubs, and I'm out, and I'm hoping that the success that the Whitecaps have had comes to a halt as they roll into Stade Saputo tomorrow night. So on that, I'm going to take off, but Wonger will be back to press the end record. But enjoy it, guys, and enjoy it, listeners.
There you go. Thanks, Doug.
Yeah,
I forgot about that. That's right. They're heading to Montreal, where they've actually had some problems. They played there 2 years ago.
Galdi was mentioning that as well. But yeah, just going back to your point about Ryan as well, he's his own worst critic, Craig. And I guess we all are, right? We're all really hard on ourselves. But I feel like sometimes he goes a little far. Because yeah, he has this 3-assist game. He's firing. No one works harder than him on the pitch. And then he's like, could have connected a few passes. It's like, okay, Ryan, we know you want to be perfect, but he's pretty good. And he obviously gets everyone going. It was great to see him celebrate as well with Bearhalter after that goal. They had a nice celebration on the sidelines there. So it's good to see him feeling good on the pitch because they obviously need him. And I'm not sure if you had this lined up as one of the questions, but they'll be really happy to get to Andres Kubas back as well, who's another character on this team that gives him so much going forward and then defensively as well.
Yeah, Bearhalter, well, I mean, that family, I guess there's highs and lows, and right now his dad's not exactly on a high at the moment. A lot of pressure on him as a coach for the U.S. men's national team, isn't there?
Yeah, no, that's the tough thing is that, if we're talking about that for a little bit, they obviously underperformed, but not the entire tournament. Just goes to show how hard it is in these tournaments, Copa, Euros, to actually advance. And just switching it to Canada for a moment, that last game when they were up a man, and I thought that they could have maybe scored more goals to get into the next round and then find their scoring touch as well. We talked about the Whitecaps finding the goals recently. Canada has struggled to score so far at Copa America, and I thought that last game was an opportunity for them to get some goals and gain some confidence going into the next round. But you look at the U.S. not getting through, and you just got to get it done. And I think you tweeted about that as well, Greg. Just, you know, congratulations. It's excellent that you get through to the next round because that's the goal, right? Ultimately, that's what you need to do. That's what you want to do, and that's what Canada has done here.
Yeah, and in all fairness, I mean, if you're getting into the quarterfinals of the Copa America and you're playing against Venezuela, I mean, no disrespect to them at all, but you'd take that in the quarterfinals.
Exactly it. If you went into this tournament, prior to going into the tournament, someone told you that this is what was going to be up for you, yes, 100%, Venezuela in the quarterfinal stage. So, yeah, you got to be feeling pretty good. Now they got to get that result, obviously, but hopefully the team's feeling a little more confident going into that game.
Yeah, I was really disappointed for Tejon Buchanan. They see some videos of him returning after his surgery. And I, you know, it's a tough world, you know, and the highs are so high, you know, and the lows are low. And when you're in that position, he's come on a substitute a few times. He hasn't really been clicking. And then he picks up this injury. It's disappointing on many fronts, not only just missing the national team, but I really felt that he needed a full preseason or as much as a preseason with Inter as he possibly could leading into their new season. And that's obviously going to be put on hold for some time.
No, that's obviously heartbreaking, devastating to hear that news. You wish him all the best and a speedy recovery because I think we're all hoping for him to have a good tournament. And then, like you said, good offseason as well going into next season. But it does create opportunities for others. And then to bring it back to the Whitecaps a little bit, Ali Ahmed's a player who hasn't had a chance to feature, not high enough on the depth chart, and that's understandable. but maybe this does give him an opportunity to get on the pitch and kind of express himself, show what he can do. And yeah, be excited to see that. Obviously, don't think that he'd be the next in line to get into the starting 11, but maybe some minutes late. And he is a dynamic player as well. He is someone that is willing to go at defenders, and hopefully, he gets minutes and can kind of show what he can do, and then gain some confidence. And he's gaining so much experience from this as well. It'd be nice to see him on the pitch if the opportunity presents itself. But can't knock anything that Jesse Marsh has done so far. I think he's done a fine job with this national team.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say that, looking at, the whole project, if they're leading toward 26 in the World Cup at home here, I would say he's on target or a bit ahead of schedule. Certainly defensively, I think they've managed somehow to fix that up pretty quickly. And Bombido, Cornelius, Alistair Johnson done really well. Davies has stayed basically at left back for the most part, overlapping with
Craig. It's Crepo, though. Come on. Like, that's all okay. Fine and good. It's like, okay. But there's a keeper that's been standing on his head throughout all of these games. And it's not going unnoticed. Obviously, he's the difference maker at the back there. And yes, Bombido and company have been good, serviceable, doing a good job, and don't want to take anything away from what they've done. But come on, how many goals has he denied? How many opportunities has he denied from the opposition? So, he's been incredible.
I didn't want to bring up the goalkeeper because it's a little bit centric that way, a little bit biased, I would say. But he really has been, hasn't he? When you go back to even the Dutch, the game with the loss with
the Netherlands and then France.
Yeah, and then France. He was absolutely solid in that game, and really was sort of stamped as a position there as number one goalkeeper, or certainly at the moment. So going to need a lot more from him. It'll be interesting to see what happens, because obviously Portland, another Canadian, is playing in net for him and Pantemis down in Portland. So, we did talk, going back to MLS, we've talked about this before, how streaky this league can be. Outside of a few clubs, Miami don't seem to be struggling without Messi. Yeah. They keep winning. But Minnesota, who they just played, have lost, five on the bounce now. And before that, they had, made some changes themselves, had that new manager bump, had, new GMs, everything had changed. Mark Watson, the Canadian, had left there and everything else, and they seemed to get it on track, and now they just can't seem to find a point for love or money.
Exactly it, right? It's up and down, ebbs and flows of the league, aside from the ones at the top. And we're seeing that. You mentioned Miami, and then it's the same with LAFC, who beat Galaxy on Thursday night. So it's the same across the board. I feel like the top teams have sort of separated themselves from the pack. And then Vanni Sertini had mentioned this as well, is that to be frank, at this stage of the season, it's a competition between 4 and 9. And right now the Whitecaps are in fourth place. But that's, you look at in the Western Conference, there's a clear, distinct difference between top three and then the rest. So unless the Whitecaps really start pulling some wins together to get into that, it's a competition between 4 and 9, making sure you got a good playoff spot. You want to be on the top end of that, obviously. You're going to have to battle these streaks and hope that you can keep your wins going and keep the positive momentum going when you are firing. Because, for the Whitecaps right now, they've got a string of road games, so that's never easy, obviously. And then at the back end of the season, it balances out and they got a run of home games. So hopefully they can rack up some of these wins, just get some results, stay afloat, stay in the top six, probably. That's what they'll be looking to do. And then really push towards the back end of the season and hopefully have a strong run and then a strong playoffs as well.
A long road trip, obviously, to Montreal. What do you expect with the team? Are they fit? Are they healthy? And leading into that, what do you think?
Yeah, good question, Craig, because they didn't come back home to Vancouver, basically straight from St. Paul to Montreal, and they will rotate. Vanni Sertini has mentioned that as well. They will be looking at the match against Pacific midweek, Canadian Championship first leg semifinal, so that is on the radar as well, and he wants to be fresh for both. He talked about Andres Kubos coming back and probably leaning on him a little bit because he hasn't been with the club recently. So just coming back from Copa America with Paraguay, so we'll be using him. But then the rest of it, he's going to have to be tactical with how he rotates. He's got to have the Canadians available for Pacific. He wants them to be fresh. Ralph Priso came in late against Minnesota, so I think that he's trying to get him some minutes as well to probably gear him up for that match against Pacific, because at the moment, they're missing some key Canadians. Sam Adekubi still injured for Vancouver Whitecaps with a calf strain, and then Ali Ahmed, obviously, with Canada. So you're missing some key Canadians. I'll have to keep that in mind for that game against Pacific. And then for this one, for the game against Montreal, he's going to want to have a strong lineup. I expect Brian White, Ryan Gold to feature once again. And that's the toughest thing. I heard Brian White talk about it after the game, that he's doing whatever he can to be prepared and be ready for absolutely every game, whether it's 60 minutes, 90 minutes, or, you know, 15 minutes. But man, they're relying on him quite a bit right now, because Damir Krylak is another one who's injured, dealing with the strained muscle as well. So tough in some areas. They just don't have the depth. But right now, there's enough. The 11, 12, 13, I'd say they're pretty strong, and they've got some players that they kind of rotate through in that regard. But it'll be interesting to see what sort of lineup he doles out on the weekend against Montreal, because he will be keeping an eye on that game against Pacific as well.
Yeah, because that game against Pacific and that round, I mean, the Canadian Championship is very important as well. It'll be interesting to see whether they rotate a bit. And, you know, they play so much football. And I have to say, like, with the Euros and the Copa going on, and we're watching some of the biggest stars in the world struggle, from Messi to Mbappe. Like, it's... I think it's just come down to they're trying to squeeze too much out of these players, and there's just not enough days in the year to have all these tournaments. And there's an awful lot of football. I wonder if that even had played a part, do you think, with the Copa going straight into penalties until the final? There's no extra time.
Yeah, you wonder, right? Especially with the heat, the conditions as well, to just have those games a little bit shorter, because it can, as you know, it can be exhausting, can be taxing to be out there for that many games, especially, yeah, if you're getting into the knockout stage, you've already played your group games, probably weighs into. I know fans don't like it, so they'd like a little bit more football, obviously, but yeah, you got to feel for the players who are out there who are in the middle of seasons as well, or it's being tacked on at the end of their seasons, and yeah, it's a long haul. And then you're looking on the other side of it. Some of these players are hoping to have a bit of a break, but obviously want to go as far as they can in these competitions. And then it's got to be like a week off or something between the tournaments and then starting to ramp up again.
Yeah, it all depends on your coach and your club and what they actually want to do. But they also know that they have to give them a certain amount of break, because it's going to come back and kick them in the ass eventually if they don't. We see that after the World Cup. Remember, it was obviously in November, the last one in Qatar. Right. Just a really hard time that most of these players have just been continually playing over and over and over again. It's quite impressive, but it's also, I think, for the standard and for the neutral, it does hurt a bit.
Yeah, no, for sure. And yeah, some of the teams that don't have the luxury of having a deep, deep roster, and the Whitecaps are relatively deep, but not to the likes of, yeah, your LAFCs maybe, and then Miami's able to perform quite well with their players away as well. So, yeah, it's really being tested right now. Caps performing quite well, but it's really we're gonna see, yeah, how they can hold up over this next month, because it is midweek games for the entire month of July. So, tough stretch here for the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Yeah, it is. I tell you, I'll take penalties and no extra time against Argentina in the semis. How about that?
Hey, that's not bad. Yeah.
Right?
If we can get there.
Martinez and Crepo, I mean, he was a hero again, Martinez, for Argentina in penalties.
Right.
Those two in penalties would be, that would be something to watch.
I'll take a stoppage time winner from Fonzie instead.
I tell you, there's something really exciting about this team. I go, you know, we talk about back in the day and when we won the Gold Cup, it was just we were ranked last in the whole tournament before coming into the tournament. That's not the case with this Canadian team. They've got some exciting players, and they spent so much time together. And I don't even know if Jesse will have a spell as long as he's had leading up to the World Cup. This might be the longest he's had, which is absolutely brilliant for everything.
Yes.
For this team and for them to get together, and you know, they're basically brothers, and it's a great opportunity.
I think that's the best part when we talk about this Jesse Marsh era and these first few games, is that they've been able to build and grow. Because going back to that first game against the Netherlands, it was a great start. You remember the first half was great, and then essentially just kind of ran out of steam, and it was a tough second half. And they struggled defensively, obviously, and got picked apart by a superior opponent. And that's what it ended up being. But kind of corrected some of those issues against France. That was a strong performance. And then carried that right into the Copa against some tough competition as well. We watched that Argentina game together. Thought they fared fairly well. Could have been a little bit closer. Take the result, but learn from it as well. And then carry that into the next two games. So it's nice to see them grow and develop. And that's what you want, right? You want a team to kind of gel and be peaking at the right time of the tournament. And maybe that's exactly what they're doing right now. Maybe they're finding their form, getting more familiar, building that chemistry. And then just a few more games, right? Three more games here. If they can get it done, that'd be quite something special.
You know, and speaking about international football and the Whitecaps, you have Ryan Gold there that isn't, you know, I would think to be knocking on the door of the Scottish national team. You know, we talked about him potentially playing for Canada. He, more than likely, I mean, he's Scottish through and through, and he would love to play for them. Yeah. How much is he on the radar with the Scottish national team? And what do you think the chances actually are of him eventually getting in there?
Yeah, he keeps performing. I think he's getting really close. And like you said, I think he's essentially knocking on the door now. I think that with players going now from MLS, performing well in these competitions, I think that helps as well. Because I think there's, in the past, there's obviously been the stigma. You got that MLS crest next to your name, and you just go down the pecking order. But you have some MLS players performing fairly well at Euros and Copas and Copa. So I think that that will help, and I think that'll continue to improve. So that might help his case going forward, because when it comes to players performing in MLS, he's at the top, right? He's in the MVP conversation last year, this year as well, just with goal contributions and then beyond, right? And that's what you want from a player as a manager. You want someone that's doing more than the goal contributions. There's no knock on Ryan Gault. The effort's always there. I don't know if you can find a better player in the league just for consistent performances week in and week out.
Yeah, you know, you're right about the stigma around it. And I got to feel that, you know, watching as much MLS as I do, that it's going to change. Yeah. The standard is getting better. And in my opinion, the way they're going, the way they're running this league, being in the biggest economy in the world, I think they're heading for a top five league in the world in the next 10 years, in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that, they're on pace. They're trending that way. Continuing to bring in top tier talent. I think that helps. The interesting thing right now, obviously, is a Saudi league bringing in players as well, paying a lot more, and then them performing well. So that standard continues to rise as well. But MLS in particular, in general, it's been great. It's good to see, obviously, the talent come in to increase the level of the league. But domestically as well, we're seeing more Canadians develop through the league, Americans as well. And and then that's good for the game, the grassroots level. It's good for everybody. So, no, it's definitely trending that way. And that's a great thing for football fans in this country.
Yeah, and you make a good point about that, too, with the Canadians, because it wasn't that long ago that Canadians played as foreigners in the United States,
yeah,
in the same league as the Americans could come to Canada and play as non-foreigners. And that was for quite a while. And that really put a hold on a lot of Canadians when they were making decisions in the American teams.
Of course.
But now that has completely changed. So the opportunities, when people say, where are they coming from? That was a big move by, I know Victor Montaliani was a big component of pushing that on Don Garber.
Yeah, and one of the best players at the tournament, at the Copa for Canada, but I think in the tournament as well, one of the most exciting players has been Schaffelberg. And it's so fun to kind of see his development and confidence. He gives Canada so much going forward, and another player who just consistently performs. And I think for a while, yeah, maybe you're just, because of the background, because of the pedigree, you're not sure if he's at the level. Well, he keeps performing. Every time he's on the pitch, yeah, he doesn't put a foot wrong. So it's awesome to see his development and growth, and then see him performing well on that stage.
Yeah, and his actual body language and how he conducts himself and manages his own emotions has really been impressive. You're right. And, you know, he has been fantastic. And even talk about how hard some of these roads are to get to where they are and the stories behind it. He said when he was around Toronto near the end of it that he really struggled. He went into a very dark place and was having a hard time mentally dealing with things, and how he's pulled himself out of that is absolutely magnificent.
No, it's awesome to hear. Yeah. It's been good. Can't wait to watch them in action. Tonight for us, we're recording this on Friday. I'm losing track of my days.
So oh my God, isn't it something? Yeah, but last few days there hasn't been much on, so it's like,
what is this?
Withdrawals, Euros on, and it's all kicking back into gear and everything else. So yeah, lots to watch, lots to keep an eye on. But Asa, thanks very much. As always great to talk to you about the Whitecaps. It's the other guys doing the Montreal event, the Toronto three questions. They're struggling to find anything positive to talk about. So
I've heard it's gone down to one question.
It is absolutely brilliant. Well, thanks a lot. That's brilliant. Been Whitecaps three questions, although I think we had five or six in there.
Yeah, so. I love it. That's good, Craig. Love it.
Yeah. Cheers, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com to sign up for our newsletter. JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.